I am a man with four fingers, a man with four fingers on my hand. I am a man with four fingers, but that doesn't count my thumb. Man with three fingers, a man with three fingers on my hand. I am a man with three fingers, but that doesn't count my index finger or my thumb. I am a man. Man with two fingers, a man with two fingers on my hand. I am a man with two fingers, but that doesn't count my middle finger, my index finger, or my thumb. A man with one finger, a man with one finger on my hand. I am a man with one finger, but that doesn't count my ring finger, my middle finger, my index finger, or my thumb.
Hello, everybody. This is Jick, and welcome to today's episode of whatever it is that this show is called. I think it's the Jick Show. I think that's what's going to stick. Yeah, it's always a little difficult for me to get started because I get used to doing the radio show with Mr. Skullhead, and I have somebody to talk to and kind of play off of. And, you know, now I really don't have anybody to talk to or play off of. I'm trying to think. I don't know that anything super exciting has happened since the last time we did a show. Nothing major, at least. What I was talking about in the system message earlier when I said that what we want to talk about today is how to make booze not suck. It's not that booze sucks. It's here's the issue that we're facing. And I don't know that this is so much an issue as just something that is true. But, all right, so the booze system was redesigned, earlier this year. And it is super balanced. Everything, all of the drink recipes and everything are feel in pretty good shape. The problem is it pretty much only works in a pre-ascension or non-ascending environment. It now that people aren't just hammering on the shore all the time anymore, they don't have limitless supplies of the Disco Bandit drink items, which is something that the which is something that the system kind of relied on the reason that we say that there's stuff wrong with it is that right now it seems like the optimum sort of soft core strategy is to go teetotaler until you get stomach of steel and then drop the path. Because those 5 points of fullness, because they allow you to eat a single additional chow mein, are worth a lot more than 5 points of drunkenness. And what I would like to do is... I mean, part of it is they're always going to be worth more because it allows you to eat one entire chow mein, and chow meins are easy to make even after you've ascended if you've got a couple of skills. And they're super, you know, powerful. And I don't want to fix it by making food less good. I would rather fix it by sort of figuring out why it no longer seems worth it to drink and why 5 extra points worth of booze are... just so vastly inferior to 5 extra points of fullness. So if you have any insight on this, if you are a speed ascender, or just somebody who's, just somebody who's playing the game collecting skills, if you're somebody who's who's going through it over and over again and as such does not have access to huge stores of stuff that you've accumulated over thousands and thousands of turns, let me know what you think about booze. And we've got a number of ideas for making it... basically, a lot of the stuff that's come up is like this. There's nothing... I think I may have actually talked about this on the radio before. There's nothing equivalent to the Bugbear store for booze. And what the Bugbear store does is it takes items that you would get anyway. Items that drop in zones that you're adventuring in, either to level up or to complete quests or to do stuff, just places that you adventure, therefore you get, ghoul ears and eggs. And the Bugbear Bakery provides you stuff that you can cook those things with that turns something, relatively useless as a drop into some decent food for low levels. And there's nothing like that for booze. And booze drops in general are much lower. Like, it's real easy to farm booze on purpose, but only once you've got the frat boy outfit and can get to the island and fight those guys. You can't get the frat boy outfit without getting to the island and fighting those guys to take their clothes, but, yeah, once you get in there, you can farm with clovers. You can get drink tickets and all that. So there are a number of reasons that people have brought up. As I said, this is the beginning sentence of the paragraph that I just started. So to reiterate, there are a number of reasons, and that was one of them. And so are these things that I'm about to talk about. It's a son of a bitch to get a bartender in the box because it's pretty risky adventuring in the tavern just because of the drunkenness that you acquire, and you have to get it twice. So I think one thing that I am going to do relatively soon is make it so you get both sets of lenses at once, or rather both lenses at once. You get a set of lenses from the Lens Crafters adventure instead of just one, so you at least don't have to get that twice. Unless I already changed that. I don't believe that I did, though. The other thing is giving sort of more consistent and more controllable access to booze at low levels. Like, I feel like I should have the hobos and stuff in the back alley drop more booze and maybe throw an adventure or two in there that gives you some, even if it was some more Mad Train or some more ice cold beers or whatever. And then look at the sort of mid range, like level 4, 5, 6 areas and see if I can't drop some, sort of slightly better booze in there, or at least something that you could use. We had talked about this idea I think is kind of cool, and I don't know where this would go in, but we talked about making like a mug that's made out of ice, that if you have one in your inventory, whenever you drink an ice cold beer, it improves the quality and improves the yield of adventures that you get from it. So instead of giving you one adventure, it melts the mug in your inventory and gives you 2 to 3 or 3 to 4, something like that. Just some extra consumable that didn't drop reliably enough that you could use it, 15 times a day, but that if you were farming it, you could probably find a couple, or if it was, if it dropped somewhere that you were fighting anyway, or, if we did something where it was like maybe something you had a little bit of control over by putting it in a clover adventure or something. I feel like we need more opportunities to deliberately accumulate booze at low levels and cocktailing ingredients. The other problem, and this is, again, a lot of the issues with the booze system now, a lot of the things that are making it sort of not worth it to mess with booze in a post-ascension environment are due to the fact that the system was created not only when everybody was just shoring all the time, everybody already had the frat boy outfit and, you know, to do the drink tickets thing, but also everyone had a bartender in the box. And especially, I don't think I even started exploding the bartenders in a box until after I did the booze revamp. So a lot of the gains, it's sort of a drink on the order of, like, a screwdriver. Okay, you got vodka, which is three drunkenness and a quality of one. So you just always get three adventures from that. If you combine the, if you cocktail craft the vodka with the orange, you get a screwdriver, which is three drunkenness and quality of two. So basically, you get three to six adventures. So it averages, all right, you've spent one adventure making the cocktail, and it averages four and a half adventures per time that you drink it. Problem is, half the time, it's giving you either as many adventures as you'd get if you just drank and ate the thing separately and didn't spend the turn cocktailing, or it actually gives you fewer. You end up having wasted it because you'll get three adventures from it. So ones like those, I mean, I don't know if at the low end, because at the high end, the way the drunkenness points and fullness points versus quality thing works, it compresses the ranges a lot so that nothing has more than a nothing varies by more than like three and a half adventures in either direction in what it gives you from the average. Or rather, just that the range is never any bigger than seven. Maybe the extent to which the range gets compressed needs to depend on the actual quality. Depend on the size of the numbers. Because that way, what I could do is I could just make it so, you know, in order to give you, and I mean, in a way, this kind of sucks for people who have a bartender, but let's say the first tier cocktails, the grapefruit plus gin or whatever, instead of giving you the four and a half adventures average by three, four, five, and six being possible, maybe it's just four and five. So you never get the six, it maintains the same average, but you're much more likely to actually get something from it. Or rather, it's impossible for you to lose adventures by making the cocktail. And that should have been impossible in the first place. It's just that the way that I had set it up before, this was kind of the best I could come up with as far as a system goes. So, yeah, thanks everybody for being a totally unresponsive sounding board for that. And just because I'm not reading any questions yet. So, let's get into the questions. A few that came in before the show. I Love Llamas suggests a familiar weight bar. That's actually a pretty good idea. And, I mean, it's, for the most part, people are going to be moving around with familiars that are maxed out, so in that case, it could just not show it. But while you were leveling up a familiar, I guess it would be kind of cool to have that level of feedback. And if we had it in there as optional, the way that they all are, I don't see any reason not to put it in there. So, all right. That'll go on the list. Gorblack says, should you be able to spend adventures at the Clam Gym when you're drunk? Yeah, that was a decision we made a long time ago because we wanted there to be something that you could do when you were drunk. People, you know, will occasionally accidentally drink one too many things, and, you know, especially with lag, trying to click multiple times on the same thing. Like, sometimes you just screw up. And we didn't want it to be such that, like, somebody hadn't logged in for a while, so they had, you know, they were capped out on adventures, and they did all their drinking on the first turn, so they're like, shit, here I am with 200 adventures. I can't adventure until after rollover, but I'm just going to lose the day's turn. So we made it so you can just burn turns in the gym, so at least you're getting something for it. So, yeah, it's a little weird because most stuff doesn't let you do it when you're drunk, but there's still some stuff you can do. You know. Let's see. T-A-O-D. On the equipment page, if you click on a section title, i.e. hats, to collapse it, the rest of the page stops loading. Huh. Is this a fixable bug, or do we just have to wait for it to load? What?
I know why.
Oh, is it because it loads the opening part of the div tag, but not the end part, so it makes the entire rest of the page invisible? Huh. Is it fixable?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Zeno says he can fix that. Alrighty. Hey, we figured it out together, though. Actually, independently. And then I was right in my guess. Barrie says, and this came up somewhere else, and I say that because Riff must have seen it in the forums today. Nightmare sends me an IM. How about a familiar that gives bonuses to drinking, but as you drink, it gains weight and becomes less good? Huh. I don't know. Would it then it not gain weight when you were adventuring, or would it? Yeah, I mean, well, theoretically, you wouldn't adventure with it. You wouldn't want to. It would not be in your best interest to do it. Yeah. Huh. Oh, anyway, Barrie says, you mentioned a pet which would give extra turns. How about one which gives its weight in turns that roll over if equipped, but resets to 1 pound? It could store turns like a capacitor. We thought about that, and I don't know that a 1 to 1 pounds to adventures is going to be something that's okay, but I don't know. We were thinking about, because you wouldn't exactly want to waste turns in the arena if you weren't going to get more turns back from it at the end of the day. And you could get it up to, like, I mean, the problem is if you never did anything but use that familiar, you could get it up to, like, 15 pounds in a day of eating and drinking good food, probably. And it's, I don't know, like, something that gave you 15 extra turns a day, although you're having to sacrifice getting much done with those turns because you don't have, you know, your volleyball on the entire time, or you don't have your fairy on the entire time. I don't know. It's definitely something to think about. We'd have to see maybe some sort of time elemental familiar or a pet stopwatch. Let's see. Mini Johnny says, hey there, when adventuring recently, I accidentally forgot to equip any items. I was fighting a monster and I fumbled my forehead. After laughing a bit, I realized that you probably shouldn't be able to fumble when you have no weapon equipped. Did you mean to make it so you could still fumble when you had no weapon? Yeah, I mean, that's why it says you drop your forehead on your foot, because that's kind of funny, I thought. I mean, fumbling is just failing in an attack. It's not so much, you know, dropping your weapon, which, you know, answers that question from Monday of, like, why do we always drop it on our feet? You know, just, yeah, I think you should be able to fumble when you don't have anything equipped. Let's see, DeCyclops says, when you click back to the Canon Museum link from your own view display case, it should take you to your managed screen instead of the general Canon Museum. When you're viewing your own display case, do you not have a link to actually manage it? Let me check that out. This player, no. I need to check that out from within the chat. Who is Jick? You are, it says. Okay, you know what should probably happen is when the view display case script gets called, it should check to see if you're viewing your own, and if so, it should give you a link to manage it, but I don't think the back to the museum link should necessarily take you to editing your own display case. Somebody write that down, please. If you're viewing your own display case, it should give you a link to manage it. You'd think I could type fast enough to do that myself. But see, this is one of the benefits of having employees, is the ability to just tell people to do stuff. The power is starting to corrupt me. Because every day when I walk in, I'm like, bitch, make me a sandwich. Oh, and then apparently Karados is making fun of me for not remembering the trick that I put in where you could get to your own profile from your character sheet, which I had just completely forgotten about that. Ruffle. Oh, and Zare says bartenders exploded since months before the booze revamp. Oh, well, sorry. I guess I was wrong about that. Anyway, though, it's still, before that, you know, it was less. You could buy beer lenses in the mall, which you can't in hardcore, you know. It's, let's see. Severus says, would it ever be possible to combine a lime and a disease to make a Lyme disease? And he did spell Lyme disease correctly, which is normally the reason I would say no to that, but, yeah. I don't know. Maybe it could just be a Lyme disease, and you could use it to kill giant ticks somehow. Kirion says, hiya, Jake, just a few questions. One, how do the X use per day items, such as Golden Mr. A's, work? Are there likely to be many such items? They probably not, because they are sort of hand-coded on a case-by-case basis. It's less of a big deal now, but it was kind of irritating the way that I was doing Golden Mister accessories before, because it would actually give you a skill. Now it just kind of fakes you having a skill on the skill page, since when I made the change to where you can use more than three of them and cast the smile more than three times a day, or more than, 15 times a day, I was surprised. I'm sure there's a certain contingent of people who probably saw that as, a cash grab, but I really didn't expect it to be, but I'm pretty sure a lot of people bought a bunch more GMAs once that was put in there, because I noticed there's a lot of people with a lot of them, which, thank you. Anyway, the way those work is they store how many times you've done whatever in... really, the only things I can think of that work like that are the GMAs, which is not even technically an item. That's kept by the skills. And then the Wand of Polymorph, which... The reason that it's sort of plausible to do that with GMAs is that they work from everywhere, and that it doesn't matter which one you're using, because you just get a certain number of charges depending on how many of them you have. And the reason it works with the wand is because you can only have one of those, so it's not going to, it's not going to break narrative continuity if you give your wand to somebody, then get another wand from the mall, and it doesn't have any charges left. But I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. It's a cool way to put stuff in that's, powerful, but to limit it so that it's not unbalanced, I mean, make stuff that you can only use a given number of times in a day. And I was pretty pleased with what we ended up coming up with collectively for the wand, with the increasing chance of explosion each day, because you can sort of, use it a lot, but you're running the risk of doing it. You can use it once a day safely. It's never going to blow up, but... Yep, I guess nobody actually knew how that worked, so now I've totally spoil-zored it. Oh, well. Anyway, I mean, surely, though, someone has noticed and posted somewhere that the wand never blows up when it says the wand gets warm, and that if you use it again the next day, it's giving you the same message as the last time. So I don't feel that that was totally spoilery. Let's see. Repo Man brings up a couple of... Oh, wait, I should actually read the rest of... let's see. Question number two from Kirion. Could you make a new familiar who doesn't have a max level of 20 pounds? That... It would have to kind of not do anything very important if it did, because that could just get retarded huge. And, I don't know, it would kind of also be a lot of extra work for what would, if it was going to exist, have to be pretty pointless. So probably not. Third question, with meat not being edible, is there a mistake with the helmet recipe description? Oh, probably. I would imagine that's something that I wrote before I decided that as a blanket truth that meat would not be edible ever. I'll take a look at that. God the Mod 2, who is a guy I've started talking to recently and is cool. Yeah. Hi there, God the Mod 2. How you doing? Any chance, although I never would have thought it, I'm sure that I just ignored the first 10 or 20 messages and PMs that I got from him, because I thought the name was probably meant that he was either some 12-year-old or somebody who was just trying to imitate mods to cause trouble. But it turns out he's neither of those things. Actually, he might be 12. I don't know. I haven't talked to him that much. Anyway, any chance we could get a link to the Ascension history of Astral players on their profiles, he asked. Sure. That is actually not a bad idea, and that is something that should go in there. Link 226 says, do you use PHP MyAdmin for the database or something else? Actually, we've pretty much gotten it to the point where we're almost entirely using for just at least day-to-day, adding content, changing things that exist in the game, using home-built tools that Xeno has made for us. And as I find myself using PHP MyAdmin for stuff, I will say, hey, Xeno, you should write me an interface for this that is easier to use than PHP MyAdmin. Not that PHP MyAdmin isn't incredibly easy to use. And yeah, that is what I have used for the entire duration of the existence of the game up until we got... get Xenophobia in here to write us some stuff. Because I never wanted to spend time writing, an interface for editing monsters. I could be spending time doing something that no one will ever see. And I guess to a certain extent I did write some tools for myself, because making it easier for us to do work makes it faster for us to give you guys content, but it was always like, I would rather work on something that you guys were going to see than something that you weren't. And so now that's corrected in a very pleasant way by the fact that we have a staff. God the Montu confirms that he is not 12 years old and says that I did indeed ignore the first dozen or so PMs that I got from him. Fraud suggests, regarding lag, wouldn't it reduce lag somewhat if rather than refreshing the left frame every adventure, you returned the new stats in the mainframe and walked the DOM to update it? Well, sort of. The problem with that, if all it was doing when you adventured was maybe giving you a stat point, or giving you some meats, subtracting your adventures or whatever, and it didn't need... The thing that would reduce lag is if the get player function had to be called less often. But the thing is, adventures can do a lot of stuff other than just change those numbers in predictable ways. They can, you know, they can add an effect which does any number of things which the left pane is going to need to reflect, and so it... there are a lot of times when we could just update it cosmetically only and not have it actually, you know, being the results of something that reflects what the database hit. But there's not really a good way to know about that. Also, like, if somebody else casts a buff on you, the next time you adventure, the next time your campaign reloads, you're going to see the effects of that buff. You're going to see the effect that you have. If we were only doing it, you know... I mean, see, at that point, like, okay, so when do you actually update it? Do you update it when, like, an effect gets added? Do you update it when... it's not the actual display of it that is what's creating the strain. It is figuring out what to display, and it's going to need to do that anyway in order for it to maintain any semblance of, like, real-time updating. So it's... Sniper Wolf LS asks a question that comes up every once in a while, and... even though I am reading them, please don't get in the habit of private messaging Jick, because I don't tend to have that in front of me. It's just that I do now. I donated $10 and didn't get a Mr. A. What happened? Isn't the system automatic? Did I close the window before it redirected me too soon? Any number of those things are possible. Every once in a while, PayPal will kind of glitch out and not actually redirect you. Sometimes when it does redirect you, my site will try and get the transaction details and PayPal will time out, so there's a failure there. But the thing to do if you don't get a Mr. A when you donate automatically through PayPal using the donate page is... We have a just very fast, very efficient system in place for taking care of those. So send a K-mail to either me, Jake, number one, or Zlyinia, X-L-Y-I-N-I-A. Although they go to the same place, basically. Like, messages that I get, K-mails that I get from people who aren't on my contact list sort of get filtered through her. So she sends me the good ones. The just especially vulgar missives about which things I enjoy sticking my penis in, or which things they're suggesting that I stick my penis in. Those usually get through to me. So, if you're especially clever, creative, or just especially bad speller, I'll sometimes see them. But one's about Mr. Accessories not being delivered, which is really what a lot of the mail that comes in is, at least the important aspects of it, the parts that aren't just, you know, asking questions that are already answered in the facts or whatever, because we have facts. She handles those daily, Monday through Friday at least. So if you use PayPal and donate, with Amazon, it will occasionally take a little longer, but you know what? No, actually it doesn't. Although we got some issues with Amazon, we're probably going to have to stop taking Amazon donations before too long. Maybe try and find some other avenue for people who don't want to use PayPal, because there are a lot of those. Other than sending in the mail. If you send mail donations, I do always read those. So if you want to write me a letter, like, go right ahead. I like getting stuff in the mail. And I feel like that gives me a good sort of hands-on relationship with the player base that seeing 1,000 messages every day, most of which are just crap, doesn't. My apologies to most of you who, according to what I just said, send me crap. I didn't really mean it. Anyway, Shaggy says, or Shaggy, Shaggy. The wiki noticed on the wand thing. Yeah, okay. So it was kind of a known issue. Or at least it was something you could have looked up. So, all right. Let's move on then. Repo Man says... Repo Man says, my screensaver kicked in, and now I'm waiting for everything to reload. I got the flying toasters. I love After Dark. 400 megs of screensavers, man. The guy with the lawnmower. He, like, mows the screen, man. I'm kidding. My, Bjorn, the guy who wrote the stuff in the Haiku Dungeon, used to give me all kinds of shit when we were younger. Because, like, when I was in high school, he'd be like, why, out of your 100 meg hard drive, do you have 15 megs of screensavers? I'm like, because I installed them, like, a week ago and just watched them. Like, I didn't even actually use a screensaver. But he would make fun of me for... I mean, I guess instead of porn, which is what he would have had on his, somebody's taken the shovel away from me. I'm not sure what that means. Yeah, anyway. So I had, like, wave clips and stuff that he would always make fun of me for, and, like, yeah. Anyway, Repo Man says, can we get an option to renumber our shelves in the display case so that we can arrange our shelves in whatever order we like? Probably not, because I can't think of a way to do that that isn't cumbersome interface-wise, and I don't want to, like, write a special script just to do that, because it's just, like, you know, I mean, I guess that maybe there are a lot of people who rearrange the contents of their display case on, like, a daily basis, but to me, it's like, I honestly feel like if you've got something worth looking at, it's going to be something that you've spent some time on and put some thought into, so that, in general, I mean, the display cases people want to see are the ones that don't require daily reordering of the shelves and stuff like that. So if you're going to change it, you know, change it once and then leave it for a while. He also says, why do Boostafarian paths get +5 liver when no paths also get +5 liver? Shouldn't it be +10? Well, it wasn't that we suddenly decided that we wanted to give different rewards for that quest for different paths as you beat the Friar quest, but it was because we didn't want to give the other path something that was completely useless. And it turns out that what we did was completely unbalance everything by giving teetotaler something that was way more useful than what non-paths got. That is an interesting point, though, that I wonder what would happen if Boostafarians did get +10 drunkenness. I mean, since we've established right now that 10 extra points of drunkenness would not be super unbalancing compared to 5, but I mean, so that would mean then, I suppose, that drinking was only useful to Boostafarians. It would be considerably less useful on to no path. I mean, it wouldn't really solve the problem. Yeah, because, well, that's a good point. Now, if you went Boostafarian and dropped it, then you would just get the regular liver of steel. Like, I could just make it so whenever it's calculating whether you're too drunk or not, it takes into account not only whether you have liver of steel, but whether you're Boostafarian or not. Oh, wait, I see. Wait, takes the shovel away. Somebody, I was digging myself into a hole, I guess. That's why Fresh Curd took away the shovel. I don't really understand. Oh, wow. 40, no, I guess I've really only been doing this for about a half hour, but I think it's time to take a little bit of a break and play a song. What song should I play? Maybe kind of a short song. How about Sri Lanka Sex Hotel by the Dead Milk Men? Dirty old man, the sleeping black at 3 a.m. Well, that was really terrible. I must have accidentally ripped that CD at like 32-bit MP3s, which I realize for those of you on the 24K stream, it's probably not going to make that big of a difference. Yeah, sorry about that. I'll try and find a better version of that for next time, but for now, how about an even shorter song? Suzanne Vega, Blood Makes Noise, which is one of my favorite songs of all time. Good and short, but mostly just good. let's see. E. Peters 02. I finally actually got into the radio bugbear messages from today, as opposed to the ones that I got for before today. Anyway, actually, one from before. One last one. Repo Man asked the third question. Why don't the wands zap stars, lines, and star charts? Here is the reason that the wands do not have any effect on stars, lines, and star charts. With a few exceptions, which were all either outfits or things that we specifically changed to solve certain balance or RNG problems. We didn't want any groups of things that the wand converts to have only two items in them. And stars, lines, and star charts are not equal in terms of rarity. Like, it would really dramatically reduce the amount of time it took you to get through the hole in the sky if you had a 1 in 3 chance of turning one of your common drop items into the rarest drop star chart. So that's why we didn't do that, because they're not equivalent. I mean, if it was, like, the pixels, you know, those change, and that's fine. It's just that, we didn't want to group with only two, because then that pretty much guarantees you what you're going to get out of it. Which, like I said, in some cases it does, that's fine. You know, like the bugbear beanie, when you zap it with the wand, is always, without exception, going to turn into the bugbear bungard. But, still, that's, yeah. Let's see. E. Peters 02 says, did you listen to the TMBG CD yet? Yes, I did, and it was awesome. E. Peters 02 sent me in the mail a rarities CD that he collected. I dumped it into a place to give to Mr. Skullhead, but then by the time it actually got done uploading, he wasn't logged on anymore, so I didn't get to start sharing it as you asked me to, but it was good stuff. It was a bunch of Dial-A-Song stuff, and it was like versions. It's like I could have listened to a million Dial-A-Song songs. No, actually, I couldn't have, because I would have stopped listening after like five, but he picked the ones that like are really fascinating to somebody who's familiar with They Might Be Giants, because it's like the original Dial-A-Song version of Anna Ang, and all the words are different, and you're like, wow, that's cool. I feel like I should have been part of something back when I was 8. Actually, I don't even remember when Lincoln came out. But, let's see. Donut Zeke says, what is this famed buckler slot I keep hearing about? Is this really in the works, or is it just a rumor? It's not a buckler slot. It's just an offhand equipment slot. And it is in the works. I mean, it's something that, it's actually, I mean, as a slot, it's coded on dev. All there is in it right now is one test item, which I think accidentally got leaked. It's on a few people's item lists. But yeah, it's, like I said, we're going to convert some items to offhand. We're going to make some new stuff that's offhand. And really, what's going to force that to happen is when we get some new content ready to put in that contains some offhand items. Because it's like, I honestly feel like going to the effort of going through and making sure this all works and converting stuff that should, you know, ultimately be offhand to offhand, like, all that's going to do is kind of change things in a non-interesting way. And really, I mean, it's going to create some restrictions that probably don't exist, because suddenly you won't be able to have both, you know, a ridiculously huge sword and a detective skull on at the same time, because the ridiculously huge sword will be, you know, probably three-handed, which that's just kind of a joke. If it's more than two-handed, then it's just two. Yeah, Riff points out that something we're thinking about doing for next month would actually require us to have the offhand slot out. So, yeah, maybe we should spend a little bit more time looking at that. There's a few items on the to-do list that are sort of contingent on that rolling out, and because we got to do some stuff. I mean, we got to, like, you know, let's say we make the detective skull an offhand item. We have to write code to go through and unequip everybody's detective skulls from their heads. Then we have to go through and purge all of the detective skulls from custom outfits. So that, you know, people will have to redo that. And it won't just be, there'll be some other stuff. You know, there will be some issues, like we'll have to go through and make sure that people don't have more than one buckler equipped. Because I'm sure there are a lot of people now who stack up star bucklers for the extra damage absorption or whatever. Because damage absorption is so great and so important. Let's see. Cayenne asks an interesting question. Any chance of extending the item of the month for those of us who gave all our extra money to the Red Cross this month? That, you know, if we get more people asking for that, then sure, we'll do it. We'll go an extra couple weeks or an extra, maybe even leave this month's Familiar of the Month or Item of the Month there for the duration of next month. Although, that might piss people off who are collecting and expecting it to be rare, but at the same time, I mean, there will be a new one, you know, I don't know. We'll see. I think that's a good point. I mean, this month I kind of felt like, you know what, it's okay if we don't make much money this month, because there are much more important things that people should be giving their money to. So, you know, it'll all work out in the end. Nuez says, please make a / recruit channel. Us chatters continually have to redirect people to other places for clan ads. It burns us. Ow, see? I mean, where are you redirecting people to for clan ads? Because as far as I know, they're not supposed to be any clan ads in chat at all. I think that was a decision that actually got made a while back, and, let's see. Pimping Kill says, okay, I know why Joe and the others were disabled, but why was Fred names changed to protect the presumably guilty? I don't know. Fred, the person that you're asking about, and actually several people have asked about today, was not disabled by me, so that means it was probably an act of the Multizar. So, you know, he's usually has a good reason, especially when he does it without, like, checking with me on something. It's because they've done something that is just very clearly in violation of the policies and subject to disablement. Let's see. Lilac says, is there a reason no paths are unable to pick their steel organ? Right now, lots of people start teetotaler and drop it just to get something. Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, the reason now that we don't let no paths choose is because everyone would just choose that, which means, you know, like I said, I don't want to nerf the strategy. I want to make the game such that there isn't just one optimum way to go through it. You know, I want you to have some options there. I want you to have to make some choices. Gorgonzilla says, I'm a strong female adventurer with strong female familiars, but the game uses his to refer to Juanita, my balloon monkey. Any chance of getting some gender neutrality over here? I've tried to stay gender neutral with the familiars as much as I could, but if somebody would come up with a single word that meant his or her, and a single word that meant him or her, I would use it. You know, in fact, somebody did come up with a single word that meant his or her, and it's his. And I'm the wrong gender to just say, like, yeah, that's what we should use, because it's just, it makes your sentences really stupid when they're full of his or her and him or her. And at some points, you know, I need to describe the action of the familiar in such a way that I have to use a personal pronoun to describe it. And it's just one of those things where it's like, I really wish that English gave me, you know, an option that didn't suck on that. But apparently, I don't know. I mean, saying mankind to mean mankind and womankind is somehow offensive, and if you presume that it's non-inclusive. I mean, so you could say that when I refer to a familiar as his, I'm using that as a gender-neutral pronoun, and when I say that a familiar is her, I'm also using it as a gender-neutral pronoun. I could just start going H-E-S or H-I-R, and then maybe enough people would say, hey, that's a good idea, instead of, hey, that's a typo, and I'm going to report it as a bug right now. Maybe I could change the face of the English language, man. But I kind of doubt it. So, I don't know. I mean, I'll look at those and see if there are any ways that I can. Because, I don't have any problem with letting people choose the genders of their familiars. Although some of them, I mean, like, especially when we do the disembodied penis, I'm thinking that it's okay to say that those are all female. Gabriel says, it would be cool to have the spoiler filter disabled for clan chat. Any way you could make that happen? If it's not okay to spoil it to people in chat, why would it be okay to spoil it to people in your clan? I mean, let me have this rudimentary level of control over this thing that just... Sep says, just because this hasn't come up in a while, I'm wondering what your thoughts are on people selling in-game goods on eBay. I have no thoughts about it. I have nothing to say about it. It has nothing to do with me. If somebody rips you off, I don't have your back. If, it comes to pass that the plug gets pulled and you lose this property that you paid for, you're not going to be able to sue me. You know, it's do it at your own risk. If you want to buy stuff on eBay, in really any game that works anything like this one does, like I said, I don't approve of it. I don't disapprove of it. I don't have anything to do with it at all. Just because, you know, we got to cover our asses. And it's, you know, I mean, honestly, even personally, if I was being completely honest about it, I just kind of don't care. I mean, it was a little bit flattering at first when I'm like, oh, wow, it's weird that I've, you know, made this thing that actually has a real-world secondary economy here. But, now it's just like, I think in general it is just true of online games that selling currency in the game for real-world money tends to be a bad thing for the game economy. Which, if I wanted to either spend the time myself or pay somebody to scour eBay and report and shut down all the auctions where people were selling meat, you know, if I felt that it was worth spending the time on that to avert the damage that it did to the player economy, then I would probably do it, but at this point I don't really feel like that. Zaku says, when you revamp the combat system to make Moxie less essential, how exactly will it affect the sorceress battle? Well, that's an excellent question, which is something that we'll have to think about when we're making those decisions. What I may end up doing is I may end up just like sort of putting in five different possible systems on the dev server and saying to everybody, hey, go to this page and pick which system you want to use and tell me what your experiences are with this system. And, you know, sort of figure out what's the most balanced way of doing it. Suzika, any chance of a symbol playing monkey as a familiar? The symbols could be the familiar item. That would be pretty creepy. But why would it, if it was a symbol playing monkey, I mean, it would just be a clapping monkey until you got the symbols item. I don't know what it would do. It would murder your entire family. Isn't that what the one in the Stephen King story did somehow? Gabriel says, there is a problem with collecting gift packages in the way that they open. There is no apparent control over which ones open. I hope this makes sense. That is absolutely true, and it is a problem which has no solution, and it is a problem that we were aware of when we put in the gift package thing. And it's kind of crappy, but it's the best we can do given the way that items are tracked. One thing that I kind of wish that I had done, especially now that, I don't know, I'm not going to say that, because it would have required a significant amount of effort for no other reason than that, but I mean, it does seem kind of dumb, you know, I guess, you know, you get a package from somebody, you get a plain brown wrapper from somebody, and then you put it in your display case, and then you get another plain brown wrapper from somebody, and it appears in your inventory, and when you open the one in your inventory, it just gives you the contents of the first one. So basically, this is how it works, and this is how you can see it. The package that you get is empty. The contents of the package are actually stored in a locker in the gift shop, and when you use the package, you take the package down to the gift shop, hand it to the guy behind the counter, whose name is... he has no name! And then he says, oh, okay, I'm gonna see what's in the plain brown wrapper that got sent to Gabriel. Because he has that accent. Which wasn't a very good one, and probably the next time I try to do it, it'll be completely different. Here's the way this thing works. Whenever you get a gift, there's this guy standing behind this big long tube, and all right, each tube represents the combination of a player ID and a type of package. So whenever somebody sends you something in a plain brown wrapper, what actually happens is this guy in the back room of the gift shop shoves it into the tube, and then if somebody else sends you something in a plain brown wrapper, he shoves it into the tube behind the other one. When you take your plain brown wrapper in, you give it to the guy in the front of the gift shop, who then just reaches into the tube and grabs the first thing that he finds. And so, you know, that's what it is. You're not actually opening the same one, because there's no such thing as the same one. Items don't have any identity. I mean, we thought about, like, what JLE suggested, just make it so you can't put it in the display case or in the closet, but that would require writing just an entirely new class of items that couldn't be put into the display case or the closet, and presumably that wouldn't be put into storage either, which would just add this ridiculous level of complexity to the query that dumps everything out of your inventory and closet into Hank's when you ascend, which is just not... That query is already pretty harsh, and doesn't need to be made any worse. Amextech says, if I use a Yeti protest sign, will I lose it? No. In fact, using it is the only way to not lose it. And by lose it, I mean not get any benefit from it. You won't actually lose it. That was completely a lie. The Torte of Lini says, hiya, Jay. How does armor work? It seems like Moxie is so much more important in terms of reducing damage than the value of the armor. Yes, it very much is. Cruel R. Moffat says, hey, Jick, why are you so sexy? You know, that's a good question. I look at myself in the mirror every morning when I wake up, and I ask myself exactly the same question. And then I ask, and furthermore, how is it possible that you are even sexier today than you were yesterday? Because this happens every single day. I get sexier, better looking, smarter, and funnier than I was the day before. It's really incredible. Werebear asks why Constantinople got the works, and I think the only thing you can say of that is that it's nobody's business but the Turks. Gorblack says, is it true that ultra rares can only be obtained during certain times of the day? Yes, that is true, but that information is not even a little bit helpful in trying to find one. Yeah. Cruel Arm Offit says, okay, a real question. Will there be any new zones rolling out anytime soon? I love the new stat bars, but I crave area content. There'll be some changes to stuff. I don't know what we've got. I don't really know what we've got on the horizon as far as entirely new zones. There's nothing... There are some on the whiteboard, as Riff points out, but I don't think there are stuff that's like full of content just waiting to get rolled out. I think what you will see over the coming month or two is a lot of additions to existing zones and little changes to existing zones. We made some changes to the adventure code, which rolled out, I guess, last night at Rollover, which the more I thought about it, It is going to change certain aspects of gameplay. It's not going to do anything that isn't favorable to players, I don't think. But basically, there's some mechanisms in place now for us to have more control over, like, the way adventures and zones are handled, and the way monsters and zones are handled. And there are, we have a lot more flexibility than we used to. Because, like, a lot of times now, if there's a zone where there's an adventure that drops a quest item, then it there has to be another adventure in that zone, or there had to be another adventure in that zone, which is, like, that's where the Penultimate Fantasy chest came from, because, like, there's always two adventures you can get at the airship. There's the next adventure in the quest sequence, and then there's the chest. Because if there was only one adventure available, and then it suddenly wasn't available anymore, the adventure code, the way it was written before, would have gotten stuck in an infinite loop. But that's no longer the case. Right now, there can be only one adventure in a zone, and if you're not eligible for that adventure for some reason, or if that adventure's not available, then it properly falls through into monster stuff. And we can also do, which we could have done before, I guess, but it's just easier now to do more than one clover adventure for a zone. The change that actually will impact gameplay in certain ways, and it's sort of hard to gauge. There's enough stuff going on that it's kind of hard for me to wrap my head around exactly what's going to happen probability-wise, but we put in a thing that makes it so, and I think overall this is going to be a very positive thing for just gameplay experience, especially for new players. If you're in a zone that has, like, 10 adventures, it picks a random adventure for you every time you adventure, and it gives it to you. But what it'll do now is it will favor adventures that you haven't seen recently. Like, if it picks a random adventure, and it turns out that that's one that you've seen within the last, like, 3 adventures, then it has a better than even chance of not giving you that one and giving you a different one. What that did, though, I think the only significant impact it has is the crypt. Defiling the areas of the crypt now go a lot faster, because the way that that worked before, there are several copies of the low-end monsters and only one copy of the boss in there. And now, once you've seen both of the low-end monsters, it will have a distinct tendency to give you the boss, even if it wouldn't have in terms of, like, actually picking the priority out of that from the list. I mean, it's like, you know, let's say skeletons are the regular monster, and demon is the boss monster. The list of monsters for that zone looks like skeleton, 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 demon, so that you don't just get the demon, like, 50-50 chance. But now, I don't know, you sort of will, because once you get the two, yeah, once you get the two other monsters, you're very, very likely to get, unless you go somewhere else and screw up your stuff in there. And I mean, add, like, pipe more monsters into the list of monsters you fought recently, or adventures into the adventure list. But yeah, you're a lot more likely to get the bosses in the alcoves and stuff. Eresh Kigal says, "Hey there, Jick. I was wondering, exactly how big can the clan stash, or can the stash log get? My clan is pretty active, and yet our log is still going strong. Will it reset at some point?" Actually, it already should have last night. I noticed that I had forgotten to call that. Actually, I thought the old code that called the clan log would do it, but then I moved it to the other database server, and so that query would just fire off and not do anything. I noticed it when I was actually in a clan that was active and doing stuff. The clan log needs some work. There are people kind of just, there's sort of a low level of bitching going on about that all the time, and it does make sense. It's difficult to read. I went sort of too far in the opposite direction on that. At the very least, I need to divide it up into some sections and make the stuff about the clan log a little bit less verbose. Let's see. Orgret says it would be nice to purchase or find shelves in the closet to organize stuff into areas for storage. Huh. Well, not shelves in the closet, but it's... I wonder, though, if it wouldn't be worth spending the time to divide the closet into the same categories that the inventory is currently divided into, but just have them all on one page. I mean, there's not really any reason not to do that, and I guess if you were looking for a specific thing in your closet, you'd be able to take it out. John Sorcerer says, when can we get used multiple for briefcases, angry farmer candy, tasty fun good rice candy, and goofballs? One of these days. Amazing Oopa says, what about a direct link to the Over the Beanstalk area? Also one of these days. People begging for more system messages because Xenophobe was having some fun with the system messages. Apparently there were 11 of them. Sizzler says, do you and your team measure the amount of lag in your system? If so, how? I ask because people often have different opinions of what bad lag is. It's really nebulous. I mean, I get some reports when I adventure or fight stuff that tells me, like, how long different parts of the script took to run, which is basically, like, how long it took to get information out of or into all the different tables that each script hits in the database. And it's... I might as well just be rolling a die and going that percentage of the way through the script and saying that that's where the lag is, because it's just different every single time that it runs. I mean, just overall, I don't know. I mean, the load indicators on the database server, they mean something, but they mean something that no one has ever been able to successfully explain. And I think it's because they don't actually mean anything. I mean, it's theoretically the number of processors that are, like, waiting for CPU time, but to me, the number of processes rather than what kind of resources the processes are using is, like, pretty much useless information. I mean, in general, you can tell when you can use that to tell when the CPU is doing nothing, like when there are actual idle cycles, but that there haven't been any idle cycles on our database server for many, many years, except during maintenance. And by many, I mean like a year and a half. Yeah, Michael says, the chatters in Haiku think the system messages should be in Haiku. What are the chances of that ever happening? Actually, I'm pretty sure that Fusiliban wrote some. I should have the other guys give a once over and see, because I wouldn't be opposed to that. Illegal says, even 6 beers a day would help us keep back the DTs. Isn't that the truth? Toxic Popsicle says, and this is actually something that bothers me all the time and that I should do, why don't you make people's names clickable when you whisper them? That is something that's definitely going on the list, because you're right. Field of Grease says, how many active players are there at the moment, and how many players log on each day? Well, let's look at our stuff here. Right? We get some stats on the thing. So, statistics for today. There were 1,074 accounts created today. 38,658 accounts were logged into today. 73,346 accounts were logged into in the last week, and 108,270 accounts were logged into in the last month. As far as right now, there are currently 1,700 concurrent players, which is a lot. Lag used to get intolerable at, like, 300 players, so we really have moved forward steadily, just not as quickly as the demand. Lusty Pirate Wench, is this being recorded, and will I have time to download it before the rest of Armageddon hits? I've been just archiving these shows myself instead of having them hosted on Coldfront. Maybe as the shows get older and fewer people are downloading archived issues, we can move them off there. But I do believe that Coldfront is now linking to my old shows. Let me make absolutely sure on that. I think they said they were, or they said they were going to. Huh. No. Oh, okay. I see. It just says at the top the Jigshow archives are available directly from Asymmetric, and then they link to jigshow.asymmetric.net, which I will try and remember when I get off the radio tonight to convert this down to a smaller file than what it records as on my machine and get it uploaded. It just takes time. It takes some non-trivial number of minutes to reduce the quality, and then some non-trivial number of minutes to upload it. So I tend to get distracted in the middle of it. John Sorcerer says, how to make booze not suck. Make the Falling Down Drunk adventures cooler. No, I don't want to make those actually give you anything good, because those are sort of a punishment. Make booze more accessible. Yes, definitely. More recipes. That I kind of want to avoid, because I really like the balance and symmetry of the booze system as it exists now. New items that are varying sort of levels of quality and new ways of interacting with the items that already exist, sure. As far as like an entirely, I kind of want to avoid entirely new tiers of drinks. Yeah, Zalan says, cooks can obtain things very easily from the kitchens via clovers and the spice loop, which, yep. Maybe there needs to be some sort of analog to the spice loop that gives you something that can be used to make some booze. I don't know what that would be. That is a pretty funny suggestion, though, the fruit loop. Rangy says, how about an option at the beach bar that there was a stranger who offers to buy you a drink, and each time you accept, there's a certain chance that it has been spiked, and you lose an adventure and wake up with the effect missing kidney. That is something that we probably should put in at some point. Zalan says, it seems like the equivalent for drink tickets comes a bit later for boozers, giving cooks a leg up early in the game, as well as the generally better quality of adventures and substats. Yeah. Let's see. John Saucer suggests removing Disco Bandit garnishes from the shore and putting them somewhere more accessible so that cocktail crafting with them becomes more feasible. I mean, since you can... I guess you can sort of vaguely farm for dry noodles in the kitchens, but I don't think anybody actually relies on that as a daily eating. So, the other thing they point out is that three noodles will feed you for the day. Yeah, let's see. Doppelheathen says, Shea Snooty doesn't appear to work with the Feast of Boris. Is this a bug? It was. It's fixed, though. Yeah. God the Mud 2 points out, as much as I hate to admit it, food and booze were only balanced because of Shorebots. No, not really, because Shorebots were a different thing. They're not just robots that go to the shore. Make DB stuff drop at the cops of the Deep Fat Friars. Huh. I'm not sure how to make that make any sense. Oh, let's see. And the real problem with booze, also says God the Mon 2, is that you rarely get any bottles of base drinks, which that's something that will that's something that we're thinking about doing a little redo, because this is something that I can have Xenophobe do in a spare time. A little redo on the barrel full of barrels. Actually give you a little bit more control after some trial and error of what you get out of there. So making it so, like, you can in general get a few bottles of booze reliably in a given day of turns. And some other stuff. And a lot of people talking about the... Gorblax actually points out something interesting. Maybe while you're wearing a certain outfit, the typical tavern could become a store where you can buy cocktail crafting items. Which, I don't know what that outfit would be, though. I wonder...
No, the beer goggles should let you see the secret door.
The beer goggles, says Riff, should let you see the secret door inside the bar that leads you back to the package store, maybe. I don't know. I mean, the thing is, even at that point, it still probably wouldn't be worth it to farm for the beer goggles. I mean, maybe if we made it so that the tavern had a better chance of giving you the goggles if you didn't have any. Because that's also kind of a funny joke. I mean, I want people to see that you get beer goggles that you can equip, you know. So maybe they could serve a twofold purpose. The beer goggles would let you have something different happen when you go into the bar. I mean, maybe they just not that we could figure out a way of narratively for this to make some sense. Maybe that it just turns the bar into something where the adventures do not get you drunk, but where the beer goggles make you so acutely aware of what's going on that you decide to just take the booze with you for later instead of drinking it there. And so, you know, it just becomes a place where you adventure for beers and other stuff. That's an interesting idea, because it's a way to sort of reuse an existing place that's currently underwhelming. Oh, I like some of the writing in the bar. Typical tavern. Let's see. Personally, Gula Gula says, food is immediate, booze is a wait for rollover thing. This is the Dr. Laura immediate gratification generation. Solution? Up the drinking limit. But I mean, not really. Booze is not the last booze you drink is a wait for rollover kind of thing. But that doesn't mean that it's not worth doing. Um, Let's see. Draconil says it's much more worthy to farm clovers for a week than go for all rolls of drink tickets for another week. And personally, why not stick the beer lens as a drop from a fight elsewhere? Well, because where else would it go that it would make any sense, you know? Yeah, Lilac proposes reworking the tavern altogether, maybe have it either be a store or some other way to procure basic booze items. It's early game, quest tied fits well. And yeah, that's an excellent point. I'm going to go to the bathroom here, so anybody who had a pool of how long it was going to be between the last time I peed and the next time, I think Miranda had her money on 57 minutes, and I think I made it a little bit past that. So what song shall I play? I think I'm actually going to... I'll make this a little longer break, so I'm going to play The Haunt of Roulette Dares by the Mars Volta, which is like 7 minutes long. But, you know, it could be worse. It could have been the extended version of Inagata De Vita or even Alice's Restaurant. All right, guys. See you in a bit.
Back to real life. Radar has gathered midnight news from Bangkok.
that song is good and long. We got, we got more questions left than there is time again, it looks like. This is working out pretty well. There are a lot of people, giving what are in a lot of cases very good suggestions for how to deal with the booze things, and a lot of them are sort of paralleling things that we had already thought of, and a lot of them are novel and cool. Yeah, so apparently people had talked about the familiar weight percentage bar before, and Xenophobe figured that I wouldn't want it because it was kind of spoiling the mechanism. But I don't feel like the mechanism is complicated enough that it doesn't sort of spoil itself, since there are places where you can see the number of kills and the number of pounds, that it's not very difficult at all to notice that, oh wait, on the 16th kill, my familiar gained his up to 4 pounds. So... You know. I think it'll be all right. Rejay says, should there be a consequence for straying from your path? Well, maybe there should have been to begin with, but adding one now would be kind of a dick move. Let's see. Right, maybe to make the booze thing more interesting, can we have a booze version of a toaster, says Lady Noir. And that was actually something we had talked about, too. I wonder if you were no path, if... the shore could randomly select either a toaster or a mini fridge, and depending on your path, it would give you the one that gave stuff that was appropriate to you, and if something gave you 3 ice cold beers. Let's see. Jeremy asking for a fullness meter. No, you will never get a fullness meter. Let's see. A fermenting solution says, no wait, Decyclops, that's continued from something else. There should be low-level items for food, and there should be for food. What? How about... oh, for booze, maybe. How about making the null fermenting solution into the premium mushroom fermenting solution and adding in a fermenting solution which can be used on the same items as the bugbear stuff and create lower-quality boozes from them? So making, like, ghoulier wine? I don't know, though. It would be hard to... I mean, I guess it's sort of hard to draw any kind of... It'd be hard to draw any kind of category line around the stuff that you can cook with stuff in the Bugbear Bakery now, but I feel like it would be even harder to draw that category around stuff. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. A lot of people have suggested also... reagent booze... You tell me do things. I done running. I don't know about reagent booze. Reagent is already so powerful and so good for so many things. Torek says, let us put the lime in the coconut. That would make booze not suck. I don't know. I'm pretty sure that would give you a bellyache. Can you make an NPC called Sandwich Making Bitch? And you can give her toast and certain items to make a special sandwich. I really feel that the women of the world would all join hands in harmony and sing our praises if we did something like that. And by hands, I mean pitchforks. And by sing, I mean run. And by praises, I mean us out of town. That didn't work at all. Decyclops says, I'm at no limit familiar. How about a giant blob of something familiar? It just keeps gaining levels, and there's a permanent leaderboard for highest level blob. Continued. Its battle effect would just be to generate a funny text message. Let's see. Michael says, when you click the blue headers in the inventory, it shrinks that section of the menu. Is it possible to code it so the menu stays that way until you click it again? Yeah, Xenophobe was working on that, actually. And somebody already posted, there was plenty of discussion about the wand of polymorph, so that wasn't super spoilery. Let's see. Lycan says, hey, Jake, is it possible to have a way to adventure again so that you don't have to scroll down every adventure, so like at the top of the page or something? I don't believe that anything can happen that causes the last adventure link in the character pane to be scrolled off the screen. So there always is one that's in exactly the same place, so you can just keep clicking it. Agent Lex says, once again, I'd like to pimp my idea of a familiar item that gives attack familiars the bonus of a mosquito, i.e. healing you for the amount of damage that we do. that they do? Or would that be too overpowered not to be a Mr. Store item? Well, really, in terms of items being overpowered, I worry about things being too overpowered to be a Mr. Store item, as opposed to the opposite. I don't know. I mean, part of the trade-off of the mosquito is it does less damage. So, I mean, maybe something that, gave you back half of the damage that your familiar did. Because some of the familiars do a shitload of damage. So, it could also maybe cap out somewhere. Maybe it'd cap out at half the number of pounds the familiar is or something. I don't know. I'll think about it. Oh, wait, I see. Could it be possible, says Lycan, to give an AT buff that does bad things? Well, the idea of PvP curses is a cool one. And, it would definitely have to be something that you could only do on people who had their stones broken. Because it'd take a lot of stones to try to do it to somebody else. But, yeah. Buffer says, I think a podcast of all Jick/Scully shows would be cool. No, podcast. Podcast is one of those things like cosplay. It's a word for something that didn't need its own word. Even though, I know that's not true. I understand now, I guess, what podcasting is. If somebody wanted to podcast them, you know where to find them. I don't even know how you would go about setting that up on iTunes or whatever. Oh, boy. Of course, yeah. The show was going good until... Hey, can you turn that down? Yeah, sorry about that, folks. All right. Good radio here. I was reading something that somebody sent. Sorry about that. 25 Drunkenness said God the Matu would give them a fourth tiny plastic sword drink, but the thing is, people with tiny plastic swords are not the people we're talking about here. They're not the people that we're dealing with. Because, I guess if somebody was going to, at this point, if somebody was going to stop ascending and just, power level, that they would... I don't know what they would do exactly now. I don't know if it's once you get access to your tiny plastic sword again, would you be better off with the liver of steel? Somebody answer that question, because I don't know. I haven't ever actually looked at the math. Let's see. Rick Fuel says, speaking about the display cases, shouldn't there be a way to split up the items onto different shelves if you have more than one object in the case? No. I don't want to do that because that pretty dramatically complicates the table that stores stuff in the display case, which right now is identical to inventory and stuff except for the addition of the shelf. So, I kind of don't like that idea. I thought about it and just sort of decided against it. Mooboy says apparently KOL Mafia has a shelf management function that can automate rearranging shelves, which, it's okay. Torek says give no path ascenders both stomach and liver of steel. That is one solution. Gorblack says Hitler never named the gift shop guy. You don't want to be like Hitler, do you? Well, I don't, but I mean, Hitler probably would have named the gift shop guy if you had pestered him about it. Because he was, he was all about pleasing the people. Some of the people. So, I don't want to be like Hitler and name him either. So, yeah. Really, in order to not be like Hitler, I have to be not, charismatic and able to talk people into things. And also just batshit insane. Not that I'm saying anything good about Hitler. let's see. Yarrick the Real Bad says, how about a familiar item of the month that makes your familiar gain weight extra fast with no other benefits? That's kind of interesting, actually. You'd never be able to use it in hardcore. I wonder how useful that would be. I wonder to what extent people would actually want to use it. Gadamatu says, why not make it so that the Wand of Polymorph randomly gives you one of the 3-star items with the same percentage chance of the adventures coming up? And also make it so you can get the same item you zapped back. Well, I don't want, in general, the thing to work in such a way that it gives you the same item that you zapped back, because that kind of sucks. Wasting your free charge or your risk for the day in not getting anything at all from it. The percentage chance, I mean, I can see how that would be a little bit handy, but I kind of don't want to redo the entire thing just for that. Let's see. Yeah. You know what? I've lost focus here. I'm going to play another song real quick. Short one, I promise. How about some Wesley Willis?
Upon a time, a man was attacked by a vampire bird. He was stuck to death. The vampire bird killed him at last. Vampire bad. Vampire bad. Vampire bad. Vampire bad. Vampire bad. The lake of fire tore his ass up. He was burning to the crisp. He was cast to the lake of burning flame. Vampire bad. Vampire bad. Vampire bad. Vampire bad. Vampire bad. Vampire birds stabbed me in my ass too. They sucked the blood out of me, killing me. Vampire bad. Vampire bad. Vampire bad. Vampire bad. Vampire bad. Rock over London, rock on Chicago. Soldiers, it's get to the last drop.
Man, I like Wesley Willis. And I'm sure you all do, too. Let's see. I've got a lot of people now talking in the stuff here about the gender on the familiars. People suggesting that I make it so you can specify a gender on each familiar, and I really don't think that's worthwhile. Because, like I said, eventually we may want to specify, just for narrative purpose, a specific gender on a familiar, and then, you know, whatever. People sending me links to articles on gender-neutral pronouns. The Great Merc suggesting English does give you an option that doesn't suck. Just refer to the familiars as it. But they're pets. You don't refer to your... I mean, I can see, like, I think maybe I refer to the Mecha Mech as it. I don't know. Ones that are just objects, like a potato. But the ones that are living things, they, you know, they're not... Do you refer to your cat as it? Or do you not even have a cat, you jerk? Gulo Gulo says, during the long rollover and subsequent lag on WWW, someone leaked this. And it's a link to www2.kingdomofloathing.com with some text forced into the results variable reading, I love cock. What that will do is cause... the login page to come up, and instead of saying nothing or, you know, invalid password or whatever above the login thing, it will say, I love cock. And see, that's not something that I typed. That's something that you typed by putting that in the URL for the login page. So, yeah, that's what that is. Apparently, whoever posted that loves cock and wants you to know about it. If you put an L in there, it would say, I love clock. I mean, because clocks are cool. They get you places on time, or at least make you feel guilty about not being on time. Let's see. Gimp Guru says, hi, Jick. Can we please keep our meat globes in our display cases? I think they're really cute. Those must be quest items now. Mr. Keen says, are all possible adventures in a zone equally likely, or does each adventure have its own probability weight? Right now, they're all equally likely. We can put more than one in the list and make them slightly more likely to come up the first time, at least. There are also, we have mechanisms for making things, certain adventures especially rare, and then for making certain adventures especially likely. Like, stuff like the, you'll notice, like, the screwdriver you'll find very quickly when you start adventuring in the Knoll after the Untaker sends you there, because that one, the thing with the stuff, the likelihood of those is much higher. Melon Squeezer says, I find the description of the big rock lacking because everybody wants a big rock to wind a big piece of string around. That's a good point. One of these days, I ought to have Mr. Skullhead just go through a lot of the old item descriptions and see if he can't beef up the funny a little bit on some of the ones that are just, you know, item X. This is an X. It's very adjective in a way that's not funny. Let's see. Phil says, unless I'm just stupid, I don't believe there's technically any way to see who your current clan leader is without viewing your clan's public profile. Could it be shown on the clan roster page? Is it not shown on the clan roster page? Really? The leader doesn't even appear in the roster?
No, it's not as the leader.
Well, okay. Yeah, that's something, as Uncle Argyle said, we shall have to remedy. let's see. Sephiroth says, I'm currently putting together a web slang glossary for my school yearbook. May I donate it to have it added to the Wang correction list? Sure, I welcome any suggestions to that, though some of them would probably get a little irritating if you used it all the time. Gothamod2 says, is there a good reason /who=/W, but /who newbie does not equal /w newbie? Well, yeah, it's because I wanted /w to work for a private message, because that's how it works in Battle.net, and there was a period of time, I think, when I was playing a lot of Diablo 2 while I was working on Kingdom of Loathing, and I kept getting angry and typing, I didn't get angry and then type /w into KOL's chat, I just got angry, because when I did that, it didn't work. So I made /w behave in two different ways. That's why. So I don't know. I mean, /w for who in the channel is just kind of a little one-off shortcut. I don't even think it's is that even documented? It looks like Primavera Angel Hair is after me. Oh, that's cool. Handing off to somebody different this time. The Invincible Swimming Gecko, how is the number of extra adventures from Ode to Booze decided? It is decided by rolling a one-sided die, and the results of that roll are added to the number of adventures you get. Torek says we need to be able to make beer babies in-game. Michael says, are the clown clothes ever going to make a clown outfit? I'm not sure. There is an outfit setting for the clown outfit, but it was the super secret hidden clown outfit, which I don't know. Carados says, thanks for playing this song while I'm working with my MP3 player and reminding me to delete the second copy of The Haunt of Roulette Dares off my MP3 player. Yep. The Bastard says, single best tavern enhancer ever, bar fights that you can win. Yeah, maybe there should be. You know, that's actually a pretty good point. Maybe the bar should be split up, the tavern could be split up between adventures and fights, where you just get into drunken brawls with people and then they drop booze. I mean, in fact, maybe the drunkenness adventures would be from going there in costume. I wonder. I mean, maybe the adventures could just be all positive, no drunkenness. But that would kind of suck. I mean, the thing is about the tavern, like, it gives you relatively good stat gains, I feel like, in exchange for drunkenness. But I guess it's never not worth the turns. Yeah, because you get more stat points from the turns you would get from that many drunkenness worth of drinks than you do from the adventure. But it also is kind of weird that the adventures that give you drunkenness don't give you turns from the drunkenness. Kind of, you know, it's one of the only bad things that can happen to you. Let's see. Primary Angel here says, technically, you do not get 5 extra points. You get more and less. You can only go up to 19 and still adventure, but you can go higher and use the adventures the next day. However, there are items and adventures that add to drunkenness and can make drinking a risky prospect for that reason. That is a good point. I mean, in general, the benefit of Liver of Steel is less significant in terms of the overall percentage points of that particular consumable stat, I guess, than it is for food, because with the drunkenness, your max sort of caps out from 19 to 24, which is less significant than 15 to 20, which is what the stomach gives you. So, yeah. He also asks, PBA does, are the highest level spleen items, such as the suntan lotion, elixirs of magical, extra strength, strongness elixirs, and jugs of magicalness, ever going to find a home, a place where they drop more regularly again? The only time I've ever used, Spleen of Steel is at the Menagerie level 2, which I believe is just because of the moxie weed, the giant moxie weed thing. yeah, probably in the barrels, because we're doing some stuff in there with some things. Let's see. Tiny Plastic Dildo asks if Crimbo stockings will be dropped again at Crimbo. Probably not. Thrarin says, pork chop sandwiches! Probably in response to that thing that I said a minute ago. Thrarin suggests also the gelatinous cube for the monster that just keeps getting bigger. I think we have a gelatinous cube somewhere in one of the... in the Haiku dungeon. Yeah, there's a gelatinous cube. Let's see... Severus suggests the prince with his ball from Katamari Damacy. I don't like Katamari Damacy because I'm a terrible person. Phoenix agrees with me that podcast is a ridiculous word. Torek says, Weapon of the Pasta Lord does shitloads of damage. Shillelagh-wielding seal clubbers do shitloads of damage. Familiars do good damage, not shitloads. All right. All right, DeCyclops points out again that I should have named the gift shop guy STFU Goreblax V, and then whatevereth, where whatever is the number of times DeCyclops has the number of times Goreblax has ascended. No, it'd be kind of funny though. I can make it so when Goreblax goes in there, it says that, but everybody else just sees Kentucky Junior. Torek says, Vampire Bat, Jick, could you please not suck at song choosing? Hey, Vampire Bat is awesome, you jerk. And that's all I have to say about that. Rijay says, are there any Crack Rocks references forthcoming? I must say that I found that quite enjoyable, although the green ampersand still wakes me up screaming in the middle of the night. If you only knew what that ampersand was for, you would be even more freaked out about it, man. I really should have put in some kind of colored ampersand at the end of the Sorcerer's Quest, because I had this whole, like, idea back when I was working on those games and when I worked on the Jungle Raoul games, like, this whole sort of backstory about the nature of the universe that involved those ampersands. Just keeps me up at night. Frazzlehoon says, this game needs hoverboards and a drink option on the cocktail crafting screen. I just still don't like the idea of the drink option on the cocktail crafting scene. Sorry, I am typing and typing. Primavera Angel Hair asks if beer babies would grow in a beer garden. No, beer trees would grow in a beer garden. God the Matu says if the drunkenness came from adventuring in costume, no one ever would. Yeah, that's a good point. Let's see. The gelatinous cube says Torek is a sorceress tower monster, but no, it's not. You're thinking of the giant ice cube. Plastic Knife Stalker says, why doesn't the imitation nice watch tell you that it gives you three extra adventures? Probably because I forgot to put the enchantment on that item, and that's something that I shouldn't ought to have done. Let's see if anything else came into the thing. Shaggy suggests the air purifier for the spleen path version of the mini fridge and toaster, which I'm not sure about that. Although it suggests mini bar, which gives basic bottles of booze. Which, huh, that would actually be kind of a solution to that. Yeah, it does. It does. Xenophobe points out, makes it a lot better than the toaster. Well, I mean, maybe that would be the default no path one then, and then the toaster would only be for teetotalers. A lot of good ideas. I like you guys because you do our jobs for us sometimes. Let me see. Well, I was wrong about not running out of questions, and I was wrong about not running out of juice. Vlad TP says, you tell him, Jake, Vampire Bat rules. Vampire Bat does rule. Melon Squeezer says, with the strange leaflet, will Going Dennis ever take us to anything? You never know. Maybe one of these days. Buffer suggests a tub girl monster, which is not going to happen. Although we do finally have a Lemon Party represented in the game. That was how Riff earned his money yesterday, was by suggesting that the Fruit Insanity slot be renamed Lemon Party. So we've got Lemon Party, Pirate Party, and Goat Party. So if you think of pirates as being bathtubs, then everything is represented. And I do think of pirates as being bathtubs to a certain extent. You know, I think that, God the Matu says, how goes co-location? And then smiles. Haven't really made any progress since the last time I talked about it, but one of these days I'm just going to plunge in. Because we pretty much found the place that we want to do it, and now it's just a matter of getting the hardware and then setting it up. I feel like that can be the big, terrifying project that replaces the con as our big, terrifying project when the con is over. So that'll be October's deal. And then it depends. I'm not entirely sure what's going on in October. I think we're here for the bulk of actually for the entirety of November. Well, the London thing is in December. October, if that Yale thing somehow fails to fall through, which I haven't heard anything about that in a long time, so maybe that's just not happening. I think the Casino Con in Biloxi is probably a no-go, what with the casinos being upside down, their contents emptied into ditches, and burn with the witches that slam in the back of my Dragula. I don't even know if that's what the words are, but that's kind of what they sound like. Some more people asking if it's possible to send a message to, or if it's possible to make it so it's possible to send a message to more than one player. And again, that's something that I just kind of don't want to do because of the potential for spam ability. All right, I think I'm gonna be done being on the radio right now, and I'm gonna play a song and hand you off to Primavera Angel Hair, who is test shit, as it were. Alright, we're going to go out on some Aqua, because everybody likes Aqua.
Sometimes the feeling is right, you fall in love for the third time. Heart feet and kisses so sweet. Summertime love in the moonlight.
Wake up now.